want to say good morning to everybody. Back in the old days, we didn't have all of the modern technology, so can you hear me well? I'm sure I can. As Isaiah 58 and 1 says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. That's a little loud. Thank you. I teach a public speaking class at Cincinnati Christian University, and I always tell the students to lift up their voice like a trumpet. I want to say that my wife and I have thoroughly enjoyed being with you for this series of meetings, and I'm glad that we are like-minded and believe the Bible, and I can come and not feel threatened by what I have to preach and share with you from what the Bible says. I am so impressed with your city. I'm glad that you've shown Marvin and Therica and Lachelle a lot of love. It was my prayer that when she moved and found her physician's job, that it would be a place where the Lord's church was strong. And I want to tell you that from going and worshiping here at Goshen and Willowdale, in Los Angeles, I think we have a Willow Brook, so occasionally she has to correct me, but it's Willowdale, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, Willowdale. Well, I've thoroughly been impressed with the preachers that you have in teaching God's Word. As we said to you, as under the theme of this meeting, we try to be as simplistic as possible and not trying to speak in abstract ideas, but where you can look at the Bible and you can see for yourself, this is what God would have you to obey. It was Jesus that said in Matthew 22 and 29, you do err or you do make mistakes by not knowing the Scriptures. So I've been well pleased with what I've seen here, and I thank God for the church here. And I'm also impressed and a little spiritually envious of you in some of the things that I see that's happening in this area and in the church. Many of you may not know, or you probably can look at me and tell, that I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in the segregated area where there was a lot of segregation. But I want to tell you something. When I read my Bible about the church and the Bible, I remember Jesus praying on one occasion, he said, as it is in heaven, so shall it be in earth, or all of these things that's happening here. And I want to show you a scripture because I wanted you to look at this and know, let you know how happy I am to see that in this city that we are striving to have one church, the church that we read about in the Bible. And this is a church for all people, all nations can be a part of that church. I want you to turn in your Bible with me to Revelation, the 7th chapter, and verse number 9. Because Jesus talked about this, and in some places we don't have the opportunity to have a multi-ethnic or multicultural or multi-racial church. But I want to say to you, I believe you're right on. When I did my dissertation, it was on Amazing Grace for Every Race, how to lead a multi-ethnic church, and I say that I'm proud of you. In Revelation 7, verse 9, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. And so that's what I see about the churches here in Elkhart and Goshen, that you believe in that. And it's amazing when we get to heaven, we're going to all be together. Let's look at Revelation 5, number 9. I think this is very important. And I mention this so that those of you who are doing what God says, Jesus said that his primary mission was to come to seek and save the lost. So it doesn't matter what race or ethnicity you are, we're going to share the good news of Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Amen. In Revelation, the 5th chapter, and verse number 9, and it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, of thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so as Jesus gave the Great Commission, go and preach the gospel to all creatures, to every nation, that's what we're striving to do. And so I want to commend you for that, and I pray to God that one day when we get to heaven, we'll rejoice about that and how we tried to carry out God's plan and not man's plan. When you look at man's plan, it's different than God's plan. And so that's why it's so important when I look at the Bible, what it has to say, and I respect the intelligence and the study and the research of great minds. But when it's all said and done, I've got to go back to the scripture. The scripture says, if I'm not mistaken, is my reader here yet? There he is. Okay. Look for me at Psalms 119 and verse number 89. I want you to know that God has settled this thing. It's not open for addition, subtraction, or revision. God's word is settled. We can depend on God's word. It's not going to change. And so I'm glad that he's given us a book that we're not going to be affected by what popular demands are or what's politically correct. We're going to be moved and motivated by what the Bible says. In Psalms 119 and verse 89, if my memory serves me correctly, it says it's settled. What does it say, Brother Marvin? Psalms 119, verse 89.
It reads, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
All right. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens, right? Now, I'm one of these old preachers that when I came into Church of Christ, mostly all of them used, and I use a lot today, the NASV and also the NIV, because I want to make sure people understand. Let me turn over and see the King James and see what it has to say on that same word, because Brother Brad, you know, sometimes as preachers, if it's not just like we thought it would be when we read it, it kind of blows your point. So you have to be flexible and make sure it's the same thing. In Psalms 119, verse 89, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's the one I wanted you to read. But that's okay, Brother Meyer. You're a good reader, and I want you to feel comfortable in reading the scriptures for me, okay? So I wanted to say that to you today as this meeting is quickly coming to a close. Just remember that the subject is the Bible and the commandments of men. Whatever I believe religiously, I'm going to compare it to what the Bible says. The Bible trumps every idea, every opinion. No matter what research you've done, I'm going to stand on the Bible. And I believe I need to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So I believe what the Bible says, and that should settle it. Another scripture that's very important, and I'd like for you to know that God doesn't intend for us to wait and look for another revelation. It's already settled. That's what it said. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 3. I'll give you a chance to find that one, because I think that's a very important verse for you to understand. 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse number 3. Where the Bible says in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 3, according to his divine power, hath given unto us not some things, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue. And so what I need to do when I go out and study the Bible and when I share it with my friends, I need to say, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the scripture? We've got to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. We've got to search the scriptures, because you do err by not knowing the scriptures, nor the power thereof. So we need to study the scriptures if we're going to be okay. Now there are several things that I want to talk about this morning. Time won't permit me to talk about all of them, but I want to kind of start you to thinking. And we had a great Bible class this morning, and I think sometimes our Bible classes can be turned into sessions where you come in contact and you encounter certain Bible questions from people that you need to be able to go back to them and say, That's a great Bible question. Here are the scriptures that I want you to read for your Bible answer. And then you can be assured that you've obeyed what God said and not what man said. Wasn't it Peter that said we ought to obey God rather than men? That's so important. And so I want you to keep that in mind. Now, as we've talked in this meeting, my scripture was Mark 7:7. And I want you to look at that again, because some of you, it may be the first time you're here. I want you to understand the importance of this scripture. It says, Jesus said, in vain. Vain means empty, worthless, of no avail. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men. Now, you may not be accustomed to this type of sermon, but I say to you, it's very important that we make sure that we're not obeying the doctrines and commandments of men, that we're obeying the Bible. And it says, if it's the doctrines and commandments of men, then you can have it your way. When I go to Burger King, I want a big Whopper with cheese and lettuce and tomatoes and a few onions. But with my wife, she just wants just a small burger, no onions especially. So that may be a woman thing, right? You men like onions? All right, preacher, don't forget, you're in Goshen. Don't come up here and get contrary on me, okay? But we cannot have it our way. We've got to have it God's way. So that's vain worship. And so I'm glad the Bible shows us that, because it's important to me about my worship. Now, if you turn with me to Acts, the 17th chapter and verse number 23. When you look at that verse, you see it talks about ignorant worship. I've already mentioned vain worship. And then there's ignorant worship. There are people worshiping God, and it's not an informed worship. It's not a worship that's based on God's word. It's based on some intellectual giant, or it's based on something what men want, and rather than what God wants. So, in Acts 17:23, it talks about ignorant worship. And then, of course, in John, the 4th chapter, and verse 24, it talks about true worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're concerned about our worship being true worship. And when we're concerned about that, God is going to be pleased. So again, I say to you, is it what the Bible teaches, or is it what the commandments of men teach? If it's the commandments of men, it's going to be very difficult for us to hear God say, "Well done, thy good and faithful soldier." And so in my Bible studies and my discussions with people, I try to go to them and say, let's talk about what the Bible says and yet compare it to what the commandments of men would say. Now, let me just mention a couple other things that happen. When I look at men and they talk about it, and I believe this with all my heart, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is the gift of God. I believe we're saved by grace. But I believe you can also fall from grace. There are those who don't believe you can fall from grace. There are those who believe once saved, always saved. And I'd say that's an interesting idea. What I'd like to do, if you're correct, I'd like to find where it's supported in the Bible. It seems to me the Bible says that you can fall from grace. And I asked them to look at a few scriptures why I come to that conclusion. First of all, I ask my friends to turn with me to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. And if this is the first time you're here, I hope you've brought your Bible with you. We'll try to give you time to follow along with us. Because what we've been concerned about is the 44 years I've been a Christian, I've heard people say things that really not based on the Bible. It just sounds good. It feels good. It makes me feel like, well, I mean, I've been to many funerals, and this person's been a bad, evil, sinful person, and it seems that when the preacher gets through, he puts him in heaven. And I'm wondering, how can that possibly be? How can that possibly be? I'm sure you've been to funerals like that as well. Now, in Hebrews, the sixth chapter, if you have it, will you say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's look at verse number 4. And one of the reasons we do this is because in the New Testament, the first century church, according to Acts 8, they went everywhere, the members teaching the word. But the apostles, their trainers, their teachers, stayed in Jerusalem. So what we need to do is train you, equip you, and prepare you with the knowledge. This church has one of the best track racks that I've ever seen on any particular subject. And you need to specialize in learning what the Bible says. Now, in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and verse number 4, it says, "For if it is possible for those who, for it is possible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to an open shame." Now, that seems to me, that's a picture of a person who obeyed the word, became a Christian, and yet that person fell away. And the Bible says that's a shame. He puts Jesus to through another crucifixion. So according to that verse in Hebrews 6:6, it says, if they shall fall away. That tells me the possibility of some people falling away. And I need to be sure. Let's look at another one. 2 Peter, turn to your right. 2 Peter. And I believe it is the 3rd chapter. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And I want you to see something here in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And verse number 20. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 20. If you have it, will you say amen for me, please? Amen. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to its own vomit again, and the sow that washed in her wallowing in the mire." Now, when I was growing up, I used to be a member of a group called FFA, Future Farmers of America. Do y'all have that in Goshen? Yes. Okay, good. All right, I'm in the right place. Okay. Future Farmers of America. And I had a chance to raise some hampshires, some pigs. But sometimes I'd hose them off real clean, and then they would go and get back in the mud, is as if I had not cleaned them up. And so that's how a sinner looks when he goes back into the world and he can't fall away from the grace of God. Another scripture I'd like for them to look at when I'm talking about that subject is 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12. See, I believe when people ask you a Bible question, you need to give them a Bible answer. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. The Bible says the following. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. I don't want my reader to go to sleep over there. You with me, Marvin? Mm-hmm. Okay, what does it say?
"Wherefore, let him that thinketh and standeth take heed lest he fall."
All right. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So there is that possibility. There is that possibility of happening. Now, what I always like to do is not only present the negative side, but also give you the positive side. How can I keep from falling? How can I keep from falling? That's a good question. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. And this is my chapter I call Faith Arithmetic. Faith Arithmetic. In 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. And if I begin reading with verse number 4. 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 4. It tells me, "If I do these things, I will never fall. The Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Here it is. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, that virtue moral excellence, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance patience. You got to be able to endure under a trial, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now notice now verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the reverend brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do what?
These things.
Church, what does the last few words say?
Ye shall never fall.
Can I hear you one more time?
Ye shall never fall.
We didn't get up too early this morning, did we? We shall never what?
Fall.
Never fall. So that's what I want us to see tonight. This morning, pardon me. I'm not tonight, but this morning. I want us to see those things. I want you to see that. Now, let me share with you a couple other things that I think is very important that sometimes I hear people saying, and they approach me like this, and this is a good way for you to kind of learn about different ways that you're going to be approached. Turn in your Bible to Genesis, the first chapter. I got about 3 points here that I want to share with you. Genesis, the first chapter. Because when I look at the religious world today, I see all kinds of churches. I see all kinds of practices today. And I'm wondering, where did they come from? So I'm going to look at the Bible, and then I'm going to look at the commandments of men. Maybe I can figure out where they came from. In Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter, verse number 24. Genesis, the first chapter, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Notice all of the after his kind. That was two of them. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind. That's three times. And cattle after their kind. Four. And everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind. And God said it was good. So it seems to me, I've had people say to me that if we sow the seed, which is the word of God, and I believe the Bible teaches that it should reproduce after his kind. Let's say, for an example, if I planted a watermelon seed, what should it produce? Watermelon. But what if when I plant the seed, the watermelon, and the vines go in all these branches, go in all different directions, one seed, watermelon, will it produce also cucumbers? Will it also produce cantaloupes? Will it also produce honey melons? You would say that's absurd. How can it reproduce all these different kinds of branches? And yet I've heard people say to me that when we look at the church has many different branches. And all of these churches come from the same seed, come from the one true church. Well, let's just compare that logic to what the Bible said. Turn with me to John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. This is something that I see. John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. I want you to know today, I'm concerned. God is not the author of confusion. Why is it that we have a church here and a church there? Just like old MacDonald's farm. Everywhere we look, there's a church. Why can't we all be the same? Why can't we all speak the same? Why can't we all follow the same Bible? I tell you what, it's the commandments of men. And yet if we say, oh, it doesn't matter. When we get to judgment, we're going to find that we're going to be judged by God's word. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath won the judging. The word that I've spoken shall judge him in the last day. So I've heard people justify all the different religious beliefs and say they're just branches of the one church. But when you look at, and they go to John the 15th chapter and verse number 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth more fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, not if a denomination, not if another church, but if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciple. So when I look at these verses, it seems to me that when you have a fruit tree, it's going to bear the kind of fruit that the seed originated with. If it's an apple tree, it's going to bear apples. If it's an orange tree, it's going to bear oranges. And so the church that you read about in the Bible, we should reproduce ourselves. We should be able to see the church that we read about in the Bible being led by male leadership. Now, I know some don't like to hear that today, but that's what the Bible says. We want to do it like God says do it. What would we do if we didn't have the sister support of the church? In the church that we read about in the Bible, they take the communion every first day of the week, not just the first Sunday. That's the church you read about in the Bible. But man is decided that he decides when you should take it. In the church, you take the collection up every Sunday. And most churches take up the collection every Sunday, but they won't take up the communion. They won't have the communion every Sunday. Amen? I think I know what I'm talking about in this area. So one of the things that people look at and they say all these branches are different denominations. I beg to differ with you today. You may not want to hear that, but I am faced with those kinds of responses. Here's another response. Turn with me to John the 10th chapter and verse 16. John the 10th chapter and verse number 16. John the 10th chapter and verse number 16. All right, let's see, my reader. Would you read that for me, Brother Marvin? John the 10th chapter, verse 16.
And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, mm-hmm. them also I must bring. Mm-hmm. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
All right. So, I've had people say the other sheep means other churches. But Jesus said, other sheep I have. He said, I already have them. Other sheep I have, which are not of this Jewish fold. He says, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He said, I already have them. I know he wasn't talking about denominations, because denominations didn't exist at that time. So he's saying, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He said, I already have. What he was talking about, the Jewish fold, he was wanting to let them know that the Gentiles were going to receive access to the one fold. They were going to be brought into one fold, the one body, which is the church. And so that's what Jesus plainly taught, that there would not be a division of Jew and Gentile any longer. Well, prove that for me. Turn with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. And we want to look at verse number 11. Remember, I'm speaking on the subject of the Bible and the commandments of men. The commandments of men justifies all of the religious division that we have in the world today. Although the Bible says we should speak the same thing and have the same rule, Philippians 3 and verse 16, that there should be no division. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 10. Somebody say, oh, that doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. God does not want us to be divided. If we're going to do it like the Bible says, we need to be a member of the church that the Bible talks about. Now, in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 11. Brother Marvin, would you read that for me, please?
Wherefore, remember that ye bring in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel.
Now he's talking about these Gentiles. He's talking about those other sheep that I'm going to bring. They're going to be one fold. Read.
And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world.
All right, man, that's a sad condition. We were Gentiles without hope, without God, or read.
But now in Christ Jesus.
But now in Christ Jesus. Read.
Ye who sometimes were far off.
Sometimes were far off. Read.
Are made nigh in the blood of Christ.
Are made nigh by the blood of other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He's going to bring them in like manner. It's going to be one fold. Read.
For he is our peace. Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Did you hear that? He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. No longer Jew and Gentile. Read.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Of two, Jew and Gentile, making one. Read.
And that he might reconcile both unto God.
Both reconcile, bring both back unto God. Where?
In one body by
the Where? Flesh. Where?
In one body.
In one body. You know, I'm having fun. You. In the younger days, that's what the older preacher used to do to me until I really heard it. They just really would keep me on my toes. Read up. You're doing well, Brother Marvin. Yeah.
In one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you. Peace to you, which were afar off.
Which were afar. Remember, you keep saying all that afar off, and he's bringing them now to be one. Read.
And to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Yeah, we both have access. Jew and Gentile now. So when you say other sheep I have not of this fold, that applies to other denominations. I dare to differ with you. I say to you today, God wants us all to be in one body. One body. That's I'm almost through Colossians 1 and 18. Colossians 1 and 18 and also verse 24, Brother Marvin. I want you to see that he is the head of the body, which is the church. Read.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead.
All right. Drop down to verse 24.
Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
Which is the church. So the body is the church, and church is the body. Ephesians 1 and 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body. So that one body, God is saying, we all should come together in one body. Whether we red man, black man, blue man, yellow man, we all should be in one body. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
But the commandments of men will have us divided. Satan knows if he keeps us divided, he can limit what we can do for God. When are we going to take what the Bible says versus the commandments of men and do what the Bible says? Look with me. It was prophesied long time ago that we'd all be in the same house, in the same church. Isaiah, let me turn with me. Isaiah, the second chapter. Isaiah, the second chapter, verse number 2 through 3. Isaiah, the second chapter, verse 2 through 3. Isaiah the second chapter. Where's James? Is James here tonight? James is where? He's keeping busy. This is my little preacher here. He may be a preacher. Usually they're pretty active when they're young, so that's good. James, all right, we're having to get that. Isaiah the second chapter, verse number 2. Do you have it, Brother Marvin?
Yes.
Will you read that? We're almost finish here. Isaiah 2 and 2. What does the Bible say?
And it shall come to pass.
And it shall come to pass.
In the last days.
In the last days.
That the mountain of the Lord's house.
See, we're living in the last days. There was the patriarchal age, there was the Mosaic age, and now we're living in the Christian age. That we're in the last days. Read.
That the mountain of the Lord's house shall
mountain
be established.
Mountain of whose house?
Lord's house.
John Wesley's house.
Lord's house.
John Calvin's house.
The Lord's house.
The Lord's house. We remember that. I'm not asking you to look, but if you read Psalms 127:1, it said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Really? Read.
The Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow
some
unto
nations.
It. All nations.
All nations.
Shall flow unto it.
And shall flow unto it. So God is saying, even in prophecy, that the Lord's house was going to be built and that all nations would flow unto it. Now there is a difference between it and them. When Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to say to you this morning that man has been deceived. And it's been by false prophets. Turn with me. My final scripture is Jeremiah the 23rd chapter and verse 21. Jeremiah the 23rd chapter and verse 21. You're doing good, Brother Marvin. Jeremiah the 23rd chapter, verse 21. We believe the Bible. We believe the Bible is a guide. We believe the Bible will correct us. If we believe that, we've got to study. Jeremiah the 23rd chapter. God was telling us these things would happen. In Jeremiah the 23rd chapter, and verse 21, what does the Bible say?
I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied.
Right. So you see, these prophets are speaking. Drop down to verse number 30. What does it say?
Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor.
Read.
Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith.
Read.
Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness.
Read.
Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord.
So I'd like to encourage you to read those verses and see what God said in the Old Testament. Somebody will say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, if you look at 1 John the 4th chapter and verse 1, I'm going to give Marvin a chance to find that. You will see that we need to search the scriptures behind the preachers today. We need to search the scriptures behind anybody that stands up and speaks for God. You need to see that it's settled. God has given us all things. So if I come along and say, now we're going to change the government of the church. Now, although women are very intelligent, probably smarter than some of us, we're going to make women elders in the New Testament church. I said, where do you read that in the Bible? In the New Testament church, they were all men elders. And so if we were going to change how the church is going to be structured, we have to go to the commandments of men and not to what the Bible says. In 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 1, let's see if that's in your Bible. Would you read that for me? 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 1.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
I rest my case. The Bible is right. We've got to study to see what God wants us to do. On the day of judgment, we're going to be faced by what God is. I know what I feel. I know that there are good people. Some of the best people in the world I know do not believe what I've just said today. But it doesn't change it. It's right anyway. If you're here, the way you become a member of the church that we read about in the Bible, they had to hear God's word first. They had to believe it. They had to repent of their sins. They had to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And then they had to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Then they were added to the church that you read about in the Bible. I say to you, that's why this church, Goshen Church of Christ, if you've never been here before, you need to walk in the hall, look in the foyer, and see all of the various tracts and teaching. And you need to get some of those tracts and go home and get your Bible and search the scriptures and see what the Bible said. They have a preacher here that's a very well-studied, intelligent man that will be glad to study and guide you to what the Bible says. And then God will be pleased. Because when I stand before God, I want to say, God, but I thought, but I feel. No, no. Here's what God says. And if you'll do that, God will be pleased as we stand together and sing the Savior's in.